Greetings in the name of Christ to everyone who's watching or listening. Welcome to Chantry, Museum Street and Landsea Road Methodist Churches, and indeed anyone from around the circuit or even around the world who's watching us today. For those who don't know me, I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I'm a United Methodist minister serving in the British Methodist Church in the Ipswich Circuit. With the world facing a pandemic, we're not meeting in person today, but we are coming together in mind and spirit as we worship from the comfort of our own homes. This has been filmed at my house by my husband, and from there are sections here by Zoom from other people's homes, and the candles were filmed at Museum Street Church before we had to close the church. Today is Palm Sunday, and we're going to be marking it in a very different way this year from our homes. So I invite you now to find something to wave. I've cut some branch from some greenery in my garden. I'm not quite sure what this is, but it's growing just outside my office window. I invite you to do something similar, or you could print and colour the palm leaf that came out to you by email yesterday on Saturday. Or you could find an item of clothing, a garment, maybe a scarf or a coat. Pause the video if you need to while you go and find something. Have you got something to wave? Good. I'll assume you have. Hold on to it though for the moment, because you'll need it a bit further in the service when we do our palm procession. So today is our first service for Holy Week. There are also going to be short services on Thursday and Friday that we will load up onto our website. And there is also a Stations of the Cross brochure that you can also download and print out to use any time this week. And of course, we will have another service like this on Easter Day. So the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We're going to open now with a call to worship. If you're watching the video, my words are in yellow and yours are in white, or you can just listen along. We come to prepare for the holiest of weeks. We will journey through praise with joy on our lips. We will travel through betrayal and death, cradling hope deep in our hearts. Jesus leads us through this week and we will follow, for he is the life we long for. He is the word who sustains us. We wave palm branches in anticipation. We lay our love before him to cushion his walk. Setting aside all power, glory and might, he comes, modelling humility and obedience for all of us. Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who brings us the kingdom of God. So let us start our service by singing together, ride on in majesty, as we ponder the journey that Jesus is about to take. And if you're watching this, the words are going to be on your screen. If you're listening, then it's number 265 in Singing the Faith. Adrian is playing the music and you're going to provide the singing. And if you're part of the Ipswich Methodist Circuit and don't have a hymnal and would like to borrow one, do contact us to let us know. So let us sing, ride on, in majesty. During the 40 days of Lent, the Christian Church prepares to observe the Lord's Passion and Resurrection. We examine ourselves as we remember the suffering and sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. In this season of repentance and fasting, we come knowing our mortality and our need for God's mercy. Seven candles that we have here represent Jesus's life and ministry, and each week we have been extinguishing one candle. Today, on Palm Sunday, we extinguish the sixth candle as we remember how we, the human race, rejected Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let us now come before God in prayer. Let us bow our heads. Gracious God, as we remember how Christ the King entered Jerusalem to the sound of joyful shouts, increase our faith and listen to our prayers so that we may praise you every day by living always in him. Enter our hearts, we pray, and subdue them to yourself. And as your disciples blessed your coming and spread your garments and branches in your way, make us ready to lay at your feet all that we have and are, trusting you to forgive what is sinful, to heal what is broken, to welcome our praises, and to receive us as your own. In the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is the story of the palm procession of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11.
When they had come near to Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowd were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
We're going to have a parade now. Tradition in many of the churches here in the UK is to give out palm crosses on Palm Sunday. But in some other churches, the tradition is to have palm leaves and to have a procession around the church waving those palms. The leaves then become the ashes for the following Ash Wednesday. But today we're going to have to get creative. And I noticed that in Matthew's Gospel, there are no palms. It says in verse 8, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees." So grab those branches or your cloaks or your paper palms and join in our next hymn waving them. Now you might see some people that you recognise as we sing the hymn. Unlike our first hymn though, you're going to be able to hear the singing. And with my thanks to our lay worker Elizabeth and to Neil and Adrian for their technical wizardry. So here is number 263. Don't forget to wave your palms as you sing. Make way for Christ the King.
Make way for Christ the King. In splendor arise. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives.
The King of Kings.
Make way,
and let his kingdom in.
He comes the broken hearts to heal, the prisoners to free. The deaf shall hear, the lame shall dance, the blind shall see.
Make way,
for the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings.
Make way,
and let his kingdom in.
And those who mourn with heavy hearts, who weep and sigh,
with laughter, joy, and royal crown, he'll beautify.
Make way,
for the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings.
And let his kingdom in.
We call you now to worship him as Lord of all, to have no gods before him, their thrones must fall.
Make way
for the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So did you enjoy our palm parade? you know, after the service is over, I invite you to take your, whatever you were waving, your leaves, and put them in your window or hang them on your front door so that others may be blessed as they go out for a walk today. I'm going to move on now and think about Jesus's passion, because our gospel lesson is part of the passion story. It comes to us from Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, before we had to self-isolate, I visited Framlingham Castle. It reminded me of Psalm 46 and the imagery of God as our refuge and strength. Or as Isaac Watt penned, "A mighty fortress is our God." This castle has stood for centuries. It's so strong and well built that it's withstood the weathering and the neglect. And over the centuries, it's been a place of protection for many. In God, we can find our refuge and strength. As I was preparing for Holy Week and rereading the Passion story again, I wondered how Jesus had the strength to go through the last week of his life. While we talk about Jesus being fully divine, we also have to remember that Jesus was fully human. He felt things exactly as we do. Where did he get the strength to face what lay ahead of him? Where do we get the strength to face this pandemic or any other difficult time that we have to walk through? What sustains us through the dark moments? We'll read and hear the full Passion story on Friday, but for today, I'll assume that you know the story well enough for me to touch on various bits without reading it all to you. While I know that this is not true of all of you, most of you have been a part of Chantry or Museum Street or Landseer Road for many years, and a part of another church maybe before you even came to this church. You've been a Christian for a long time. Many of you were even raised in the faith as young children. Jesus had been a Jew for all of his life. Luke tells us that at 8 days old, he was circumcised, as Jewish boys were at the time, and that his parents took him to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and offer a sacrifice. So Jesus too was raised in the faith. Sometimes, as we've been surrounded by these things for so long, we do things automatically and we don't realize the gift that our faith offers us. Or we fail to do these things because we take life for granted. So let's take a look at what Jesus did to sustain his faith and give him strength. So firstly, we began today with the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus understood his life's calling as fulfilling the scriptures as existed in his time, or what we know today as the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures. So he rode into town on a donkey, fulfilling a prophecy made by Zechariah. Donkeys were common animals for carrying people and heavy loads, so it probably wasn't unusual to see a man on a donkey riding into town. But the people were pleased to see Jesus, and they rooted for him and encouraged him, and it turned into a parade. Have you ever been to a parade? In the United States, we had several parades each year. The town I lived, there was a Christmas light parade, an Independence Day parade on July the 4th, a Veterans Day parade on November the 11th, and children's sports parades, like for the opening of baseball season, and then various cultural celebrations like Cinco de Mayo or Chinese New Year. They were fun times. There was lots of waving and shouting, encouragement was offered, approval was given, and there was much laughter too. It was times like that that the community came together around a common theme. There were also parades in some places, like the Pride Day Parade for the gay community and their allies, where a group of people that had traditionally been opposed came together and walked proudly through the town and happily. And they were cheered on by the many watchers and booed by others. But they gained strength from being together in community and seeing the support that they had. And that was then there to see them through the tougher times. I don't know if Jesus planned to draw a crowd that day or just enter the town quietly with the disciples. But I am sure that Jesus drew strength from the crowd and from the happiness and laughter and support that he received. So draw strength yourselves from looking back and remembering the times that as community we have laughed with each other and celebrated together and encouraged each other. Perhaps you've even kept some old letters or cards that you can pull out and reread. Maybe you can even send someone a card now of encouragement and a memory. We need community. And I'm loving these 8 p.m. Thursday times of standing on the doorstep and clapping for the NHS. Almost our whole street was outside this week, carefully staying on our own doorsteps. But you could hear the applause echoing up and down and up and down the whole road. The second way that Jesus drew strength, we have our spiritual practices. Prayer is one of them. There are many examples of Jesus retreating to pray in the Gospels. And we've just heard about one of those in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was arrested. Jesus took the disciples with him, but then he retreated to pray alone. And it can't have been a quick prayer because the disciples had time twice to fall asleep. We often use the excuse that we don't have enough time to spend it in prayer. Jesus made it a priority, even as time was growing short for him. And we've been given that gift of time right now. So use it to deepen your prayer life. And if you need any prayer suggestions, call me. The third thing I think that gave Jesus strength was that Jesus knew the scriptures. Time and again, we see Jesus quoting the scriptures. He even quotes Psalm 22 whilst he's hanging on the cross. Many of the Psalms are lament Psalms, where the psalmist cries out in agony to God. But they always finish with a statement of trust in God's faithfulness. And they make a good starting point for our prayers, as they did Jesus. The scripture we have memorized, whether word for word or just the gist of it, will sustain us when things get rough. Think about the passages you know that you can bring to mind. I'm sure that you all know the 23rd Psalm and can be filled with the reassurance that God is like a shepherd caring for us in the deep, dark valleys. Look up your favourite passages. Write them out and then stick them round the house where you will see them. Reading scripture is a spiritual practice, and there's always a message for us in what we read. Matthew is our lectionary gospel for the year. Maybe you could spend some time this Holy Week reading through the whole of that gospel and contemplating what God wants you to hear. The fourth way that I think Jesus drew strength is from his faith rituals. As a good Jew, Jesus celebrated the Passover, which is a time when the Jews remember how God saved the Israelites from slavery and led them into the Promised Land. So it's fitting that the last meal that he had with his disciples was the Passover meal, where he then instituted the very first communion service as he broke the bread and blessed the wine. Celebrating communion is for us a spiritual practice that draws us closer to God and Jesus and one another. So we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and God's grace and mercy for us all. The rituals of the faith sustain us. We are going to eat together on Thursday this week and again on Easter Day as we share a love feast. Unfortunately, not in person, but across the sound waves and in communion with the saints through all times and ages. And the last point I want to make is that Jesus gained strength by following this path that he understood as the one that God wanted him to walk. He knew the scriptures. He understood what he was being called to do, what in his life, loving the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength meant. He'd read their prophets and knew their call on his life. He challenged the status quo. He offered healing and forgiveness and a way of peace. He called for justice for all. And he wasn't going to back down from doing what was right, whatever the cost. And I'm reminded of all the essential workers right now who are putting their lives and their families' lives on the line as they selflessly seek to help in all the ways that they can. And Jesus knew that not everyone would think that what he was doing was the right way to proceed. He knew that he would be betrayed, but undergirded by the faith that he had and the belief in his mission, he continued anyway. And he still offered forgiveness and compassion to those who hurt him. God's love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us gave him a purpose and the strength to continue. He trusted in God's faithfulness and that in time resurrection would happen. May we too have that same confidence. As we go through this pandemic, may we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and find our purpose by offering compassion and mercy and encouragement to others in all the ways that are available to us. Your Christian life to this point will also carry you through the days ahead. You know how to do this. You're a disciple of Jesus, a pupil of his. Your spiritual practices will see you through. So gain strength from the community. Pray. Draw from the scriptures. Commune together virtually. And follow God's calling on your life. As the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we come to our prayers of intercession. Let us bow our heads. And as we do so today, I'm going to share a prayer by a blogger who's just known as Church in a Box. And she says that as she was thinking about Palm Sunday and not having palms to wave, that she was reminded this week that we have other palms, the palms of our hands. So we're constantly being told to pay attention to our palms because they can be carriers of germs. So the advice is to wash our hands often. So what if we can use our hand washing not just to wash away germs, but to remember God and to honour him, to draw strength from that time. So we're going to pretend to wash our hands right now. But you can pray something like this each time you wash your hands. So let us pray together now as you're imagining grabbing the soap and starting to get a lather. Today, Lord, we remember that this world is your own, a world that's full of mystery that you hold in your hands. Now begin to rub your hands together. For those whose world has fallen apart, who wring their hands in pain, we pray that they will know your peace. And now as you rub the back of your hands, we pray for those who work behind the scenes, who seek and test for a cure. We pray for your wisdom and that you will make a way. And now work each finger one by one. As you work your thumb, we pray for family and friends. We ask for your care and that they know your love. And your pointing finger. For those who work with all the sick, protect them, Lord, we pray. Use your middle finger. We pray for those who lead, whatever their sphere, Lord. We ask your wisdom. And the ring finger. For those who are sick or overwhelmed, we ask for strength and healing. And your pinky. We pray for children, Lord, who don't comprehend, Lord, give them resilience. And now your nails. Our nails then remind us, Lord, that you have known our pain. And now, as we wash the soap away, we pray that you'll take our fear and remind us once again that you will always hold us near. God in community, three in one, we lift our prayers to you as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now we're going to close by singing from your hymnal number 272, as we ponder the journey that Jesus took on this Holy Week as he poured out his life in service to us, the Servant King.
He calls us now to follow him.
Go from here now, drawing strength from our time together. Go, thankful for Christ's love for us. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.